You might have known that this last week I went on the clergy retreat, which the presbytery holds every year at about this time. In fact, they always do, the first Sunday in November. We hold it down at the Deer Creek State Park Lodge. It's a nice setup. But there was something different about this year. This year, it was all decorated for Christmas already. Now, I'm starting to get used to the Christmas in the stores, starting in November. I hear that some of the radio stations are starting to play Christmas music. Hey, the Hallmark Channel has already started their Christmas movies. So Christmas is coming. Christmas is not only coming, it's here, at least for those who are want to decorate early or get you to shop early, one or the other. All this Christmas got me thinking about things. In my previous church was a man named John. John was a retired pastor who moved into our community back in Illinois, started attending church there. We saw John regularly for even volunteered to teach on Sunday morning. After a while, though, we didn't see his wife because his wife was ailing and had to stay home, and John had to stay home more and more with her to care for her. That care became more and more of a burden as he had to do more and more to help her, eventually put her in a care facility, but she still went to be with her every day. He told me that it was a labor of love, but he did admit that some days are harder than others. Once, right about this time of year, John told me that he was not looking forward to the holidays. Back then, they didn't actually start decorating until Black Friday. But he told me he was not looking forward to the holidays, and I asked him why. He said, well, the holidays made caring for his wife even harder because there was more to do, more activities, more family coming in, all of which led to more stress for him and for her. But he said the hardest was the emotional stress. The holidays were his wife's favorite time of year, and that just made the whole season that much harder for him. John and I talked about the holidays and the church and the needs of caregivers like himself. What he did tell me, though, that without the church, he would find the holidays much, much harder to bear. But what we both admitted was that it is hard for those of us in the church to know what to do, how to care for friends and fellow church members who are caring for others. We talked about that, and I still remember that. That we often don't know what to do, what to say, or even what to think, even though we would like to help. With the holidays soon approaching, or maybe here, depending on where you are, I thought maybe I'd suggest some ways that we might be helpful to those who are in a position to care for the caregiver. And so if you want to take notes, you're welcome to. I will, of course, as I always do, put my sermon out there, but I've got 12 items here that might help for those of you who would like to care for someone who's caring for someone else. And the first would be to listen attentively. Really listen to your caregiving friend. Caregivers are rarely expecting you to solve their problems, but they sometimes need to vent their frustration and sorrow. Listen attentively. Respond during their conversation, not with your own issue, but with comments of understanding, so that the caregiver can know that you are engaged in their story, so that you show that it is their concern and worry that you are interested in and want to be helpful for. My second point would be to don't tell horror stories. not Thanksgiving, or not Thanksgiving horror stories, there are those, not Halloween horror stories, but the stories of perhaps you're putting someone else, putting someone else in a loved one in a care facility that somehow went wrong. They don't need to hear about a substandard nursing home in another state. You may feel that you are conversing about the topic, but these stories will only increase the caregiver's feelings of guilt and worry. So unless what you have to say is truly useful in the caregiver situation, leave out the negative chatter. Third thing you should do is not judge. Don't second guess the caregiver's decisions. Whether that means saving your nursing home horror stories for later, or for someone who is not going to be affected by them. But don't judge them on if they choose to put a loved one in a care facility, or choose to give up a job to stay home and care for a loved one. Those that make those decisions don't need a negative judgment. You are not in their shoes. Fourth thing you can do is say, what can I do to help? Caregiver is coping with a lot of things, often a tragic end-of-life situation. Sometimes the caregiver needs some help. You, the friend, can't be expected to know what that help is. But by asking, how can I help? What can I do to help? Is different by just saying, let me know. But listen to what the response is. How might that help be? And the fifth would be to offer the gift of your time. That might be where the help is needed. To research a care receiver's diseases so you know what this person is going through. Offer to sit with the care receiver while your friend or fellow church member has some time alone. Offer to run some errands for the caregiver. Offer to cook a meal. Offer to help address Christmas cards. Just don't offer what you can't deliver. Sixth, give the caregiver some space. Sometimes the caregiver wants nothing more than to be left alone. And just because the caregiver isn't actually actively rushing around doesn't mean that he or she doesn't have anything to do. Many people need time to regroup before they can enjoy anything social. Seventh, this is good for this church. We do this well. Bring food. Now that could be a full meal. It could be a main dish. Could be a dessert. Could be something that is frozen or can be frozen. That often works well. I remember a friend that was in a caregiving situation was invited to a neighborhood Christmas party, but wasn't sure she should go because she didn't have anything to bring. And then she remembered that a member of her church had brought a frozen dish that she had put in the freezer and forgotten about. She got that out and was able to go to the party without the trouble and time of having to prepare something herself. Food often works. Number eight, offer to take the caregiver out. Now, this only works, of course, if the caregiver is able to go. If the caregiver is caring for someone in the home, then you need to make that invitation with providing a backup as well, someone to watch the care receiver while you take the caregiver out. Caregivers can't relax when they're worried about a loved one's welfare. But often that invitation to go out and leave those situations is very much appreciated, if even for a little while. Number nine is don't make more work for the caregiver. In other words, you might think it'd be great to invite the whole gang over to the caregiver's house, but if the caregiver has to spend the whole day preparing for you to come, then it's not necessarily a helpful visit. And that's not to discourage visits, but if you are going to go with offer to make all the preparations necessary for such a visit, 10, don't exclude your friend because he or she often has to decline invitations. Don't hound the caregiver with invitations that you know that can't be accepted, but don't leave them out either. Offer invitations ideally with practical help, particularly at this time of the holiday season when there's all sorts of parties to go to. Including the caregiver is a way of including them in the loop and making them feel that they're still part of the larger community. But understand that caregivers are simply too fatigued often to want to do anything at all. But that doesn't mean they don't want to be remembered. Number 11, help the caregiver stay connected with his or her faith community. Now, if the person is a member of this church, you can then help that person by maybe bringing them copies of the bulletins or the sermons after a Sunday worship, helping them to be able to come to worship by staying with their care receiver. If they can't come to worship, then encourage them to have the deacons bring communion to them on the next communion Sunday. If the caregiver is a neighbor or a coworker and not a member of this church, then help them to find time to worship in their own faith community. Again, maybe by offering to spend time with their care receiver. And if they're not part of a fellowship of faith, let them know that this faith community is behind them in whatever ways we can. Which brings me up to the last way that we can care for the caregiver, and that is, comes out of our scripture this morning, is that to help them and us turn our burdens over to Jesus. This is the instruction of Jesus in the passage this morning. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. You know, we all carry burdens in life of one kind or another, small burdens, big burdens, life-changing burdens. Some we have control over, many we don't. Some are temporary, many are constant. All weigh upon us in some way or another. It is all these burdens that Jesus invites us to come and lay before him. Jesus uses the imagery of a yoke. We don't see yokes around here, but yokes were used to tie two animals together, two oxen perhaps, so that they could pull the plow. Jesus, in a sense, offering to tie himself to us, helping us to bear the burdens that we do have to bear. And so whether we are the ones needing care or the ones giving care or the ones caring for the caregiver, it is a good reminder that at the end of each day, into the beginning of the next one, we can place those burdens in Jesus' hands. And I think we'll find that our burdens are lightened at least a little bit. Amen.